Support for the Positive Judaism podcast comes from Tamid, the downtown synagogue in New York City. People of all faiths and backgrounds are welcome to celebrate Jewish life at Tamid. Visit www.tamidnyc.org for more information.
From New York City, welcome back to the Positive Judaism podcast. I'm Rabbi Darren Levine. Positive Judaism is a new vision for Jewish life in the 21st century, which lives at the intersection of religious living and the science of well-being and happiness. In this episode, I will be speaking about the importance of having and creating a positive family. People want to have shalom in the home, to have happy, unified, and lasting family love, but it takes more than desire. Peace in the home takes effort and must be built into the DNA of how a family functions. There are plenty of studies and articles showing what is wrong with today's family. I'm interested in what is right and what is working, and I'm going to share some of that with you. There are three key strategies that families can easily adopt to strengthen their family health and to create Shalom Bayit, the Jewish ideal of a peaceful home. 1. Create compelling family rituals. 2. Make a family mission statement. 3. Make sure your family's positivity ratio is at least 3-1. And finally, I'm going to speak about the essential role that family elders, grandparents, aunts, and uncles have in creating a peaceful and positive family. The Jewish virtue of a positive home is called Shalom Bayit, which translates to peace in the home. It is first mentioned in the Talmud over 2,000 years ago in reference to the idea of lighting Shabbat candles on the Sabbath day. There are a few images more Jewish than that of Shabbat candles burning bright on a dining room table on a Friday eve. Ask any Jewishly observant person about their most significant Jewish experience, and most will relate a Shabbat memory. The connection between Shabbat light and peace in the home is that Shabbat candles are symbolic of clarity, unity, and tradition, and each necessary for peace in the home. The lesson here is that central to achieving peace in the home, Shalom Bayit, is having regularly scheduled rituals in your family's life that evoke unity and tradition. Examples of rituals include Sunday movie night, or Saturday afternoon in the park, or the week-long trip to the lake house each summer. All of these are good anchors for families and healthy rituals. But on the Jewish calendar, there is the weekly Shabbat experience, the most important of all Jewish family rituals. When it comes to your family, how can you approach this day as a way to maximize the value of family time in ways that your family can be together in the most positive ways? Shabbat, as a day of rest, now becomes a family day. My childhood rabbi would often say, "Make Friday night family night." And that idea stayed with me through my entire life. Put some creativity into the unique way that makes most sense for your family to enjoy this time. Eat a meal together. Share time with each other. Be playful. Laugh. Put away the screens and the personal devices, and let this special time each week lead you to closer bonds with each member in your family and a deeper sense of Shalom Bayit. I believe that if you do, you will raise the level of peace in your home, and everyone will feel happier, closer, and more positive about their lives. Carving out regular and generous time to spend together as a family is necessary, but not sufficient to achieving peace in the home. Another important strategy is to create a family mission statement. If your family is like mine, we have lots of different personalities, hobbies, interests, and busy schedules. We're a human system, much like an organization, and we know that the most effective organizations have principles that guide their mission and their work. The most well-known Jewish statement of principles is the Ten Commandments. As an interesting sidebar, the fourth commandment is to keep the Sabbath day. But the entire Ten Commandments point to the notion that effective human organizations have operating principles. The family is no different. And I would like to encourage your family to create a family mission statement. You can call yours Our Family Mission Statement, or Our List of Family Principles, or Our Family's Ten Commandments. Or come up with another title that works best for you. My suggestion is to work together to capture what is important to you and what guides your unique family. Is it curiosity and creativity, courage and resilience, love and kindness, forgiveness and social justice, the appreciation of beauty, gratitude, hope and humor? Does your family believe in multicultural experiences, theater, art, music, travel, health and fitness, money, food? Where does community, humanity, and religion fit into your family mission statement? And these are just a few considerations. Once you have your family mission statement, post it in a central place in your home. This will allow everyone in your family to see it often and to refer to it regularly as your family grows. And as your family matures, your mission statement may need to reflect those changes. Whatever your process and your vision, having a family mission statement will keep the individuals in your family pointed in the same direction, sharing the path. And this is a real positive for everyone in your family on your journey to Shalom Bayit, peace in the home. The family is the core of society, and it's where children and people learn to be human beings. It's where a person's character is shaped and where a person learns to become a person. There are exceptions to this rule, but generally, it all starts with the family. And so the stakes for a positive future for humanity rests on the health of the family. In the first two segments of this program, I spoke about some practical interventions to help your family, the idea of spending regular time together on Shabbat, and the suggestion to create a family mission statement. Now, I would like to speak to you about the spirit of your family, the atmosphere, and the emotional temperature in your home. In other episodes, I have spoken about something called the positivity ratio, a scientific way to measure positivity. The ratio compares the number of positive versus negative exchanges between people. If we were to assign a value to each comment, response, or interaction we share with others, we could begin to see a relationship between the negative and positive moments, and this would be your positivity ratio. For example, one positive bid for one negative bid, your ratio would be 1:1. Get to 2 positive comments for every 1 negative, and your ratio would be 2:1. But at 3:1, you are finally getting to positive. Let's apply this to your family experience. Try to have 3 or more supportive, caring, empathetic, loving, compassionate, joyful, kind, and humorous interactions for every critical, disparaging, biting, reproachful, sarcastic, nitpicking, and disapproving of action or reactions. My point is that a family's ability to have a strong positivity ratio will, by definition, create a positive home environment. The members of your household will benefit, your extended family and friends will benefit, and by extension, the world will benefit, since the home is the center of the family, and the family is the center of society. So let's encourage every family you know to actively improve the positivity in their home, and the effect of this Shalom Bayit, peace in the home, will be felt far and wide. As we close this episode on the positive family, I want to turn to the important role that elders, grandparents, aunts, and uncles have on the family. This generation is vital to Shalom Bayit. And if you do not have any living relatives this age, make friends in this generation and find ways to incorporate them into your lives and the lives of your children. Family elders are the living history of a family. They have wisdom, they have perspective, and they have your best interests in mind. Of course, there are exceptions, but family elders can have a very positive impact on a family, especially grandchildren. My sense is that too many grandparents take a passive stance in their relationships with their children and grandchildren, and too often wait for an invitation. But elders, you have an important responsibility to pass along your unique family stories, your values, your traditions, and your wisdom. And this requires active engagement. Who else can give perspective to an anxious child about their math exam than a grandparent who can say, "Oh, you should have seen the anxiety your father had before he took the math portion of his SAT when he was your age"? Who else can describe a different era when life was less complicated to give some perspective on living and working in today's world? And who else can, just by their presence, remind someone younger that there are many chapters of life and that disappointments, twists, and turns are the natural river of life? Lastly, close relationships with family elders teach children the importance of caring for the elderly and respect for the golden era. When we started this episode on the positive family, I said that most people want to have a strong family and shalom in the home. Now you have some proven strategies to strengthen your family, and I hope that by adding a Sabbath experience to your life, by creating your family mission statement, by having a family positivity ratio of at least 3-1, and by integrating family elders into the fabric of your life, you will find new levels of Shalom Bayit on your family's journey to happiness and well-being.